Today we're going to take a look at fathers. Actually, the Bible has quite a bit to say, a lot of wisdom for dads and for husbands. I don't know if you knew this or not, Deuteronomy 24:5 tells how they were supposed to take a year off on their first year of marriage. That would have been nice to know back in the day, huh? Teaching kids scripture talks about that in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about fighting spiritual battles. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24 talks about setting boundaries with your parents and by prioritizing your new spouse. I found a good passage in Psalm 101 I wanted to start off with, and it's written from the perspective of a father. Listen to what it says. Psalm 101 starting in verse 2 says, "I will be careful to lead a blameless life. I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. And no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence." Great commitments, isn't it, for dads to make? So I found a whole bunch of great nuggets in Scripture that I hope will be inspiring, will be encouraging to you. I hope that, I know there'll likely be some that maybe you fall short on, and this is a day for us to set our standards high. And to shoot for what God would have us aspire to. And so I hope that this is something that will be beneficial to all dads. And whether you've had a good dad experience or a bad dad experience, we can all, dads or moms, in any of us, these are things for us to make a part of our households and a part of our homes. So to make it easy, you know, we are fathers, we need it simple. We've made it an acrostic, so it fits with the letters of father. So hopefully that's helpful to you, dads, okay? These are some things that, you know, as you grow up, you want to know what is it that makes a man, you know? And that seems to be blurred these days, and about the only way you can tell sometimes is because people have long beards, right? And the Bible tells us, though, what makes a man. And so we're going to take a look at some of those things today. So let's pray, and then we'll get into this together. Father, we come before you. We, first of all, are grateful for dads or those men in our lives who filled in the gap, who've helped us be better men, better people. God, we're grateful for all of those who've invested in us. And I pray, Lord, that we would set our standards high as fathers, that we'd be spiritual leaders in our homes, in our communities, that we would take a stand for what's right, that we would speak the truth in love, and that like David, we would be men after God's own heart. These things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So if you're filling in the blanks with us today, the first one is a good father is faithful to his God and faithful to his family. Let's start off with being faithful to his God. Look at Psalm 119. David writes, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." He makes this commitment. "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word." David, as we know, was a man after God's own heart. And I think there's something within each of us as men that wants to be a man of integrity. And if that's the case, I want to tell you this, that the path to integrity goes straight through the heart of God. And for us to be men of integrity, we have to know God. We have to be close. We have to be men after God's own heart. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, good passage, says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." May we be that kind of man. And what about being faithful to his wife? Well, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 says, "May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth." In a culture where it's common to trade in everything for a newer model, that's not what God intends for marriage. Honorable men honor their wives. And the best gift that we can give to our kids or one of them is to love their mother. And I like how Jared put it recently, I believe it was on Mother's Day, but to love their mother even if that lady is no longer our wife, to honor them and to not speak ill of them in their presence. I got to say this about my mom. My dad left a lot to be desired when it came to fatherhood, when it came to being a husband. And there certainly are a lot of negative things that my mom could have shared about him. But I never remember a time when she commented on something that at the end of that conversation she said, but your dad has some good traits and your dad has some great qualities. And that must have been very hard for her as a woman who was the victim of adultery and divorce to say. But I think it's part of what gives me hope in building bridges with my dad today is that I wasn't taught to harbor bitterness against him. And so we honor the mother of our children and we honor our wives. Matthew chapter 5 verse 28 says, "I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And so to honor our wives is also to guard our heart, to guard our eyes, and to guard our mind, and to find joy in growing old with the one who's been by your side from the start. So we're faithful to our God, we're faithful to our family. We're also, as if we're good dads, we're accountable and available. God wants us to be accountable and to be available. You know, it's interesting, Genesis chapter 2 records the first thing in history that was not good. You know, I used to think the first bad thing would have been, you know, Eve taking a bite of the apple and blaming everything on her, right? You know what the first thing that wasn't good was? That man was alone. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone." And some of you wives know this. You know that many husbands in this room would not survive very long without your help. "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him," Scripture says. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." So as fathers, as husbands, we need to be available. You know, there's a movie that came out a few years ago called Click. If you remember that movie, there's a remote control that can kind of control the people in your life. And you can fast forward through things you don't want to have to deal with and pause things you have to think about or whatever it is. And one of the things, there was a button on this remote that could make the man in the movie, the husband, go on autopilot through those times that he thought were unimportant, he didn't want to have to deal with. And unfortunately, much of his life passed him by. And so for us as dads, the illustration is just that we don't need to be on autopilot. We need to be there. When we're actually with our family, we need to be present in mind and conversation and be with them, not just physically, but in every sense of the word. We need to be there as dads, as husbands. You know, several years ago, when we were at the Orange Conference, and you see when we have Milestone Sunday, we have these marbles, or I think we do rocks now in a jar because rocks are easier to find, I guess. I don't know. But every day that goes by, every week that goes by, you pull one of those out. And when you look at the jar and see how much you have left, I remember my oldest, Abby, looking at that jar thinking, I can't believe how much little time I have left with my daughter. And now here we are, and it's gone. She's about to leave our home. And as I look back over the times we had, there are ones I wish I treasured more. There are moments I wish I was more in the moment with her, but I look back at the moments and treasure them dearly now because that time is passing. I think about when she was about 2 years old and it was really cold out, but she insisted we swim in her little tiny pool. And not only that, but when we got in there, she found it upon herself to splash me greatly. I think about the times when she was still in diapers and running up and down the hall, and we had this thing, or I had this thing, where I took the fishing pole and I put one of her toys on the end of it, and I'd throw it down the hall, and she'd go to grab it, and I'd reel it real quick, and she'd chase it down the hall. She'd chase it down the hall just giggling, you know, and those kinds of things. I remember one time I found a bike that I thought would be fun to ride with her. Probably should have had it checked out first, because we're riding down the road and I had her on one knee and all of a sudden the handlebars came off in my hand. And so, you know, we just hit the grass and rolled together, and she's lived to tell about it. But it's those kinds of moments that I treasure so much now as I look back and know that they're gone. And so as dads, I encourage you to be in the moment. Enjoy all of those things, all of those times that you have with your kids and with your family. And as far as being accountable, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." And as dads, it's hard enough in the culture we live in. As husbands, it's hard enough. We need other men who will come alongside us and hold us to higher standards and to hold us accountable. And you need to have godly men who will shoot straight with you. And don't resent them for it. Invite them into your life. Invite men who will hold you accountable in the role that you have as husband and the role that you have as father. So we need to be accountable. We need to be available. T stands for we need to teach and we need to train our kids in godliness. We need to teach and we need to train in godliness. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard. Do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth." You know what? The best thing that you could hope for your kids when they grow up is that they would be godly individuals. That you have assurance not just of the life that they'll have here on this earth, but of the one that lasts forever. And when you compare that to all of the other endeavors that you could be a part of in their life, when it comes to that, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it is, those things will fail them at some point. Even a career will let you down when it comes to that. The greatest thing that we can aspire of is to leave a godly legacy that is carried on by our children one day. So we need to teach them how to live out the scriptures in their life. Have conversations about what it means to know Jesus. Pray with them at night before bed. And honestly, be transparent about the lessons that you've had to learn the hard way. Teach them. Train them in godliness. H stands for one that maybe is greatly lacking in this culture today, in the opinions of many, in mine. It may be one of the biggest deficiencies there is. And that is to be a hard worker and to be a provider. If there is ever a lesson that our culture needs to learn from fathers, it's how to do that, how to work hard and how to provide for a family. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." You know, I know there's a lot of sermons as a dad I give on this subject to my kids. And I know a lot of times there's eye rolling, and a lot of times there's resentment. But one day they'll appreciate learning these lessons of hard work and providing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, "Even when we were with you," Paul says, "we gave you this rule. The one who's unwilling to work shall not eat." What do you think, dads, about a rule in the household? A little much? I don't know. "We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They're busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat." And about providing, Paul has this very strong command. He says to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It's pretty strong language about providing. And I want to add this to that. Providing is more than just providing food. It's more than just providing shelter for your family. It's providing nurture. It's listening. It's comforting when the time comes. It's providing hope when all else seems to be falling away. You're the one that is to be the stable force in your family and remind them of who God is during tough times. And it's about providing peace when there's conflict. God also calls us to be an encourager and an equipper. Notice how I'm throwing a few in and two in at the same time. There's a lot of good stuff here. Being an encourager, being an equipper. And the scriptures teach us that one of the ways that we encourage is through gentleness and through patience, which I'll be honest, I've not always been great at. Proverbs 25:15 says, through patience a ruler can be persuaded. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. And dads, we need to fight to be this kind of dad, because there are going to be those times where we're not as gentle as we should be, where we're not as patient as we should have been. And I believe strongly that those are the times where we need to have the courage to tell our family, our kids, or whoever we've hurt in those moments, we're sorry, and ask them to forgive us. What about equipping them for success, spiritually and otherwise? You know, I'll be honest, growing up without a dad around for much of my life, I highly credit the Home Depot guy for a lot of the things that I've learned around the house. If it weren't for the Home Depot guy, I don't know what I'd do. And for you men who've had to learn from people who maybe weren't your dad on some things, be grateful for those men who've invested in your lives and taught you some skills and taught you some things so that you could handle situations as a father and as a dad. So I'm thankful for those men who stepped in my life and taught me not just around the home stuff, but how to be a spiritual leader in my home. For men who taught me how to be a better dad. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Another good passage is in Ephesians 4:29, and I hadn't considered what all this entails in relation to this when I've read this passage, but it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And I think that includes adding value to the lives of your children by teaching them things that will be useful in life, spiritual and otherwise. It says that it may benefit those who listen. So what does helpful talk look like? Well, John Maxwell uses the word think, and here's another acrostic for you. Well, in adding value to others, your kids or whatever, is it true? Is what you're about to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Or is it kind? These are all good questions to ask when you think about what it is that you're sharing with your kids. We also, as dads, as fathers, as husbands, we need to be rich in the eternal things. We need to focus our energies more on laying up the treasures in heaven than we do laying up treasures on earth. So much of our time, when you think about it, is spent working for the things that won't necessarily last, by measuring wealth poorly. We need to lift our eyes to see the real treasures. And I think that begins with being grateful for the gifts that are right in front of us. As we seek to acquire and add to or lay up for ourselves for a retirement or whatever it is, don't miss the great gifts that God has given you. When you lay your kids down at night and you look at their faces as they go to sleep, what an amazing treasure that is. You know, I don't know if you remember the day, if you have kids that were born by you rather than adopted, either way is great, but remember how grateful you felt on the first day that you laid eyes on them. And have that same gratitude even today for what God has given you, the gift of an amazing wife. So be grateful for the gifts that God has given us. Be grateful for good friends. Be grateful for a church that loves you and that you have an opportunity to serve in. So I think it begins with gratitude. And then Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, he says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. And what does he say? I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. He writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then finally, we need to be steadfast and we need to be strong. Being a man of integrity means that we stay the course even when doing what is right is unpopular or perhaps even painful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We want to ask that the praise team comes forward as we close our time out together today. I want to ask that you stand with us. And as you do, I want to take just a moment and pray specifically for those dads who may need it today. So just ask that you bow your head, if you would, and close your eyes before we have this invitation song. With your heads down, with your eyes closed as you reflect. Maybe there's a dad today that you've just been distracted by work. Maybe some of the things that are on your plate. And maybe for you, the message is to be there more for your kids and for your spouse. And if that's you and you just want to say, please pray for me, that I would be in the moment with them. Just raise your hand. I want to lift you up today. Okay? All right. Right here in the back. Anybody else? All right. Maybe some of the dads here, maybe you need to be willing to say you're sorry more. Maybe that's you. If that's you, and you'd say, please pray for me, that I'd be able to be that with my kids. I want to pray for you today. Maybe for some of you dads, it's to be more of a spiritual leader. To be in the scriptures more, to pray more with your family, with your kids, with your spouse. To teach them more about what it means to be a godly person. If maybe that's you today. If that's you and you would say, please pray for me that I would be more of a spiritual leader in my home, then I want to do that now. Okay. All right. Let's take a moment right now and lift one another up. And I just want to say this. If you're here with, if you're a spouse of a husband here, put your arm around them and lift them up today and pray with me as we do that. And if there's somebody beside you that doesn't appear to be with somebody, you can do that too. That's okay. But let's pray for one another today. God, we come before you. We're grateful for the examples that we've had in our lives. I know that, like me, there are many here whose earthly father wasn't around to teach them some things or to be that example. And so I have a special place in my heart for those people, and I'm also grateful, as I'm sure they are, for those men that have filled in the gaps in their life. God, I pray that today wouldn't go by without a message being sent or a phone call being made to express that gratitude. God, I pray that you would bless our dads today with wisdom. I pray that you'd light the fire within us to be more than we are today, to be closer to you as our Father, to be better dads to our kids, better husbands to our wives, to set a better example. God, give us the courage to pursue that. Give us the help of your Holy Spirit to do those things. And I also just thank you for the wives who've been there for these dads and husbands who've put up with the stuff that they've had to put up with. God, I just pray in the end that we would be the spiritual leaders you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing this one last worship song together. We invite you to come if you have a decision to make. Let's sing.